Welcome to Do a Blessing CNS Church London's podcast, sharing the good news weekly. We hope you are blessed by today's message.
We've been talking about grace since last week. We talked about grace last week and we felt that, you know, we will talk about increasing or growing in grace. But just to do a bit of recap from last week is that we found that through scriptures that grace is not just hovering over sin, over when somebody does something wrong. Grace is an enablement. God is enabling you to be able to achieve certain things. So you see 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul said, and said this last, he said, the Bible says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." So what the Bible is saying is that he said, my grace is sufficient for you. How? My power is made perfect in your weakness. So what the Bible is saying, what God is saying, is that grace is not just that I did something wrong, God will cover it. Grace is actually the empowerment of God to be in a place of weakness. We pointed out also yesterday, last week, that grace teaches, Titus chapter 2, 11 to 12, the Bible says, "For grace has appeared to all that offers salvation to all." The Bible says it teaches us to say no to ungodliness. And that was where we headed last week. That people will say that, you know, I said that people will say that some people have grace to commit a fornication. Some people have grace to do this. That is lack of understanding a little bit of scripture. What the Bible says is that grace teaches us. Another translation will tell you, it trains us to say no. It trains us to say no to ungodliness. So when I'm still struggling to say no to certain habits, what grace does is that grace empowers me to be able to say no to those things. And as we move closer to begin to look at how we grow in grace, the Bible calls something the spirit of grace and not supplication. That means that one of the ways that the Bible, God channels grace to a human being is by his spirit. So Zechariah chapter 12 verse 8, I'll just read verse 10. He said, "I will pour out on the house of David and its inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look unto me." So what he's saying is that grace would empower you to be able to seek the face of God. In your journey with God, the Spirit of God empowers us with grace. Now you will begin to see that in the New Testament, the Bible begins to describe how the Spirit is expected to function in a believer, those who after Christ had come, versus in the days of old. So you would see that the Bible, when Jesus was being introduced in John chapter 1, verse 32, the Bible says, and John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remained on him." It is important that the Bible use this word "remained." Because in the Old Testament, the Spirit comes on them and it leaves. So you will see somebody like Samson, that when at a point the Spirit will come, after he uses it, It goes. So that's why the Bible pointed out to say that the difference about Jesus is that when the Spirit came, it stood. It stood. And you begin to see as Jesus also begins to teach us this in John chapter 14, verse 16. The Bible says, I will ask the Father, he will give you another advocate to help you and will be with you forever. So what Jesus is saying is that this one will not go. He now said that, he said, the spirit of truth, which the world cannot accept, because they neither see him nor know him. But you know him. Please look at the tenses of scripture. But you know him, for he lives with you. He now said, will be in you. So that means that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God only came on them. He never sat inside them. That's why the Bible says that, it says he would be in you, which is future tense. He said he would be inside of you. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we move on, what we are trying to say here is that it is the Spirit of God that channels the Spirit, the God's Spirit, grace into you as a believer. But I want you to also know, we're talking about, so I'm going on two parallel, two lines now. Grace, we grow in grace. Now, everything about the kingdom of God, it has a growth process. No matter, that is why the Bible used the word, except a man be born again. Why? No matter how a man is 200 years old, the day he gave his life to Christ, as far as scripture is concerned, he became a baby. He has to be trained and be taught to come to. That is why you can see a young man like Timothy be a pastor as he gathers people. Even the Bible says, even the priest joined the church, and even like their priest, when they came to Christ, we all start from Christ as babies. It may not be sound good, but scripturally, everybody, no matter where you come from, when you come into Christ, you are born. And nobody is born an adult. That is why Paul will say that I am feeding you with, he said you have been eating milk. You should now progress to solid food. Because babies are accepted to take milk. But as they grow, their diet should be changing. And one of the things that you will begin to know as you grow in God is that your diet will begin to change. There are some things that God cannot tell you. You will still be rubbing your head and say, my boy, you know, don't worry, just take this. You know, when you go ahead, hey, baby. But when you are old, there are certain things that God will be feeding you that, you know, the Bible calls it solid food. This is not advanced revelation. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know. See, those some of the things that we use as yardstick or spiritual growth, biblically, it is not. The Bible would say that, when Paul was talking, he said there are some things that they should not be teaching you. One of the things is about how to forsake from sin. Those things are still baby teachings by Paul. He said there are some things I should not be teaching you now. Now, he said, he talked about death, resurrection, and baptism, and all those kind of things. That was what Paul called elementary teachings. He said we should leave that and move to advanced conversations. But at times, when you have somebody, who's so great, who has huge growth, spiritual gifts, but where they are is still baby by scripture. But the problem is that the church approaches them by gifts. Whereas what Jesus is saying is that no, this one is still a baby. This one is still a baby. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. All I'm just saying is that no matter the Bible is not concerned if somebody is a baby as it were or not. Because every baby, every child, everything that the kingdom of God starts very little, it has the potential of becoming large. So God it is not a condemnation in the heart of God when he says you are still a baby. The problem is if you remain a baby. That's why Paul said, you too now, you should now be teaching other people. What he's saying is that people should be looking at you and following your path. Now, who are we going to hand over to you now? God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So you begin to see, and Matthew, Jesus began to talk. Jesus said, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in a field. Though it is the smallest seed of all the seed, yet when it grows, is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in it. In its branches. Let's just go on. I just wanted to show you this. Now, I know when I do teachings at times, I brought mustard seed for us to see. This mustard seed that you're seeing here, we have enlarged it. They've enlarged it so much. Now, this mustard seed is what becomes this. These are human beings standing under a mustard tree. So, what Jesus is saying is that this small seed can become this tree in such a way that those who are using their finger to try to hold that seed can now stand under it. So, what Jesus is saying is that even though access to grace may be this small, you have the potential of that grace becoming so big that you cannot recognize where it came from. You will not be able to, you will look at it and say, so what I'm trying to say is that the kingdom of God, that's why when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like, what he's saying is that this is how the kingdom of God progresses. The kingdom of God does not come being. It starts off little. And as it's growing, it becomes so visible that no one can hide it. So, the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 3:18, when Paul was talking, Peter said, he said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Please note what he said. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is that grace does not just come as it were. It is the knowledge of what you know and how you are implementing it is what facilitates your growth. That is why you begin to see also when 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 2, he said, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge. So that means what he's saying is that the pipeline by which God you increase in God's in God's grace is by knowledge. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as I begin to bring this a little bit together, is to know that I said that the forefathers of the faith, they believed so much in the grace of God that when you finish the service, they will say, "Let us share the grace." Because they believe that grace is the ability, that's the strength of God that carries you even from week to week. So the last thing you do is that they say, "Let us share the grace." So when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 13, the Bible says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." We said earlier that the path by which God channels his grace is by his Spirit. Now, what is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? What is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit? So now, Dr. Sam will say the communion of the Holy Spirit. What is that? Communication. Fellowship means, Baba Gbenga will say, fellows in a ship. You are friends together in a ship. So, when the Bible says the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, what he's saying is that we are praying that as you go this week, you will develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Your fellowship will be with the Holy Spirit. He said, "May he be with you all." So when we are going, when they say, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the vehicle that carries everything is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit." May he be with you. So it is an instruction to us to say, what God is saying to me is that as I fellowship with him, it becomes the channel of his grace, as it were, becomes more and more evident in my life. So, I want us to also come to a point. We said this last week, I just wanted to draw this. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And we talked about humility. And there is a path by which when you are walking with the Holy Spirit, when you are walking with God, there are some things that he puts you through that prepares you. I love when Sabine was leading a prayer. She said capacity. See, at times some of us are so, and I will show us a couple. See, there are certain things that it is not the best to have. It is good, but that you cannot rely on that as a Christian. Those kind of powers, they don't. Okay, let me put it this way. When you are looking for power, you say, "God, I need the power of the Holy Ghost," and you fast for marathon for 7 days. That power may come, but if you don't have fellowship, it cannot stay. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to. As a human being, you are a container. At times, somebody can have that. Those who do those quick fire, anointing. You get those who, you know, they go and fast, baby. They come, they do service and give, all those things. Your place shakes. After a week, a while, there is nothing there. Why? Because the power can come, but it cannot remain. For it to remain, that environment must be thoroughly dealt with. That is the one by, and that is the one by which you would see that the that is what the CNS elders has as an imagination that is saying that a leader or a prayerist does not sleep with their trousers off. What they are saying is that you should be ready at all times. But for you to remain ready, see, if you just live your life on, okay, at your dumbo, let us do, you will see power in that day. But after Ajoju, you go back to normal. One of the things that we are trying to teach and what we are trying to do is, I said, don't, Ajoju is good, but we don't want to prepare specially for Ajoju. Because the problem is that if I prepare special, I say, God, as they come today, let them meet you, and I fast for 7 days. So if you come the next week and you have a problem, what happens? What we should do is to maintain a culture in such a way that Ajoju is happening or it doesn't happen. See, somebody should not come to your church on anniversary and come the next day and think they entered a different church. Have you been there before? Yes. What's going on here? You now check their program. Hey, it's the same church. We came last week. That's one of the things that we are so interested in doing. So during time, they do 7 days constant prayer. It's anniversary with you. After the last sleep, they do. The problem is that you do not value human life. Because at any time, anybody can rush in seeking for God. But when you begin to understand that, what you will do is, don't rush for anniversary. Begin to build your capacity, bit by bit, bit by bit. So that when anniversary comes, that's why I can't even see us running around doing anniversary. Because even the normal service, people will say, their service is almost like the same. Because the temperature should not drop. See, there are anniversaries that you do. Please let me clarify, there are anniversaries that you do. The Bible calls them the spirit of just men made perfect. So you can be doing a David's, what's it called? David band anniversary, as it were. And you see the covenant of David play over that service. You would see those dimensions. But they should not, it should be an overlay that gives an aroma of what the covenant of David is on. Sorry for those who are not saying, I hope you get what I'm trying to say. You can sense it. But when you come to a normal service, it should not be that, where did I enter? And the reason is that because we are prepared, we have a fire brigade approach. There is no gradual, if you may not see, we're not talking about running fast. Gradually begin to pick your speed. Take time. The kingdom of God starts off little. Can I say something also to us? God is not in a hurry. People think that God is in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. John the Baptist, his ministry was for, that was, it was for 3 months or 6 months or. His ministry lasted for months. But God prepared him for 30 years for a ministry of months. God is not in a hurry that he is. But that 6 months or whatever the ministry is, till today, you are still reading about it. I said it when we started, God is not interested in quantity, he's interested in quality. So he doesn't, He's not saying you can, people can rush. That doesn't mean he's rushing. It takes his time. But the time, what it will do, will be a landmark for even generations to come and see. But it takes his time. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. So as we, why am I saying this? Is that so that you can gradually be listening to what the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about. Because, yes, she was talking about content capacity. We had a man that came to do, give us a teaching in church, Baba Ade Omobola. He's Omobola, yeah. He is the head of Christian Concern in this country. He is the only one that's the only book on earth that the Queen of England, when that passed, personally wrote forward about was his book. There is no book anywhere on earth you will see the Queen of England write on. This man, you know, like we were saying, like, he speaks to prime ministers. He doesn't go there to cry. He tells them, excuse me, what you are doing has nothing to do with God. You go to number 10. He was saying, you go to number 10. You can see the pictures online. If you Google, he goes to number 10. He talks to Tony Blair. He spoke to Boris. Said, Oga, when you were in London, and we prayed for you to become one, and I told you then, I said, one day you become prime minister of this nation. You are not here. You are doing something different. What I'm trying to say is that he was saying that God has placed him as a Mordecai. You must remember the things that he spoke to us. He said, there are people in powerful places that God has placed, help me to place them there. And I give them their mandate. But what am I trying to say is, when this man came from Nigeria, we heard the story, when this man came from Nigeria, he said that they don't enter red bus, not the London bus. It's a mode went to them. It's a chauffeur that comes to pick him at the airport and drives him all through when he came to this country. But God was saying, I can't use this one. They were powerful in Nigeria. The family was the father was the one that started the mobile police. So they were very powerful and influential in Nigeria. God said, this one, After God dealt with him, he was selling, flour, £1 flour on the road to be able to eat. Before God brought him down and said, okay, now let us, you know what has now happened? He cannot sit with powerful people. And it doesn't care what you have or what you don't have. It will tell you the mind of God. So it doesn't, when he came here, he was so, he was not carrying his, you saw him that day. What I'm trying to say is that he had gone through a process. That there is nothing you want to, when Charles was made king, he was there. So it's not that Charles, as he is, he cannot go in and tell me this is what God said. The worst case scenario is they don't come back here. But imagine if God has not dealt with him and prepared him the way he wanted to. He'll be looking for contracts. Sir, we will talk about that thing. Don't worry. It's just that God just said that you should do well. But sir, there are some contracts that we need to quickly sort out. So, what I'm trying to say is that at times, as God is trying to build capacity for that grace that you are seeking for, the pattern he uses may not necessarily be palatable. See, as I come to this, I'll just say it is also to us. You don't need much to focus on improving your gift. You need to say, Lord, help me. What God, see, gift and anointing, he will give. But the fruit of the Spirit, it is you that will do that. At times we are focused on what God is supposed to be doing and leaving what he expects us to do. So the problem is that by the time he now places that grace in its full measure on you, you will become, you and I, we are not properly prepared, we will become a destruction. Can you imagine if that man had not gone through process? He would never have felt. he would just be enjoying himself. And God would say, what if we have wasted, we have wasted grace. May God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So, I'm going to show you a man quickly, just through scriptures. We said, you will see this man, he asked God if I have found grace in your sight. That man is Moses. The Bible calls him, the Bible is written in scripture concerning him, that Moses is the most, humblest man on earth. So you will see that a man that walked in so much grace, the Bible qualifies him as an humble man. Now, you will see how God was refining him before the grace came out. Some of us will say, God, as the face of Moses was shown with power, with glory, then let my face be shown with glory. See, there's some things that is not prayer. Because those that happen to, they never pray. Now, as I'm looking, just for you to know, before, even if you are going to pray that prayer, so that God will not say, oh God, do you understand what you are praying for? You don't. I don't know, I was talking to someone one day, and I was teaching somewhere, and somebody later went in trance, and the person said, Pastor, that thing that you are seeing, I saw it when I was in trance. I said, what is it? And I explained, this is what it is. I said, there are some times where people are praying and God will say, Gabriel, let's give them, let them continue. When it is our time, when they are ready for us, we'll come back. Because there are some prayers that you are praying with respect. I say, you must not be saying black sheep. It doesn't make any kind of, it is emotion. You are praying it because you feel that that is the right thing. There are some things that it is not prayer. According to scriptures, there are processes to get there. Because if it were to be prayer, Moses would have done one prayer and received it. Now, so let me just show you through this man, and please, you would begin to, you begin to see this pattern. Exodus chapter 19. This man at this age, at the minimum, he was 80. So please imagine an 80-year-old man. Are we together? And some of us can, please, you can count. The Bible says, after they set out from Rephidim, whatever it is, he said, they entered the desert in Sinai, and Israel camped there at the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob. So Moses was downstairs, the God there, God said, come up. Moses went up. Please note that Mount Sinai is said to be 3 miles long, and 3 miles one way. And that is roughly some hours to get up in modern day. Don't compare when it used to be in the days of Moses. I want you to picture what I'm saying. So God said, come up I won't talk to you about this thing. He came up, God said, go down, go and tell them this and that. Let's go on, please. Verse 7. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of Israel and set them all the words of the Lord. Then the people responded together, we will do everything. And the Bible says, so Moses brought their answer back to God. What did he do? He climbed up again. I think of it. He climbed up again to go and give a response. Say, yes, sir, I spoke to them. This is what he said. Okay. Let's go on, please. Let's go to another. That's 17:19. The Bible says Moses descended to the top of the mountain, and called Moses. Come up to the top of the mountain. If it were you, he says, sir, say everything now. I cannot be going and coming back. The Bible says, and so Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down. That's the first thing. Go down. Yes, sir. Do you know what this means? Moses was down. God said, Moses, come up. Not to come and receive the commandment, to come and hear. It's as if your mom said, text you downstairs. And say, come upstairs. And say, go and bring me the cup downstairs. Or somebody is downstairs that your mom said, your mom texts you, is this person there yet? He said, yes, come upstairs. Can you tell them that I'm coming? Go back downstairs. What are you going to say? Why did you not say that in text message? For me to come upstairs and come and hear, go down, I'm going to tell them that I'm coming. One thing you do not see behind is God is breaking you down. Because it takes a man at the end of it to be climbing. This is not your house staircase. Can you imagine if you are home? Somebody say, please come and help me bring this. I'm going to help you bring this downstairs. You go downstairs. You say, you come and say, oh, there is this thing beside it. Go downstairs again. I know from all our Christian hearts, a time you can say, mommy, please take it. Write everything that you need now so that we can go once and for all. God said, go downstairs and warn the people so that they do not force their way through to see the Lord and many of them perish. Let's go on, please. Well. Now, when you go to Exodus 20 and things like that, the Bible says, then Moses came up to the Lord and came up to the Lord. This is Exodus 24. He came up to the Lord and to Aaron and Levites and things like that. And when Moses, basically God called him again, come back here. Let's go on, please. Well. In verse 18, the Moses entered the mountain as the Lord, as he went up on the mountain. So, verse 1 said he has gone up. Again, he came down again and said, we are above. This thing is not staircase. The Bible says he stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. Let's read on, please. Bro. Let's go on, please. This is 32, and this is where I'm going. This is 32. The Bible says, when Moses approached the camp, he saw the calf dancing, and he broke it at the foot of it. So he came down. Yeah, let's go on, please, now. Now, this is where Moses went back to God to go and apologize again. He had to go back up. Let's conclude. I'm sorry, but I'm just skipping because of our time. The Bible says, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight. Now Moses was, now this is where grace became, it was a journey. That's what I'm trying to say. It was a process. It didn't just happen in one day. It didn't just happen in one day. Let's go on to 34, please. The Bible now says in verse 34, the Bible says, the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stones like the first one, and I will write on them the words that are on the first tablet, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on the mountain and present yourself to me. Let's go on now. Now, this verse 34 is where the Bible says, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets and the law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant. Moses did not pray. But as he continued to journey with God, he did not know, as he was appearing on a daily basis, he was being changed one process at a time. That's why when Moses came out back, the Bible says he did not know something had happened to him. The process of growing in grace is a gradual process as God uses situations and processes to begin to make you. See, you will not even know you have anointing. It is until you go out and you pray for somebody, or you are praying in the garden and something happened and you go like, what's happening here? You call yourself, you'll be saying, what's going on? Someone will say, you did this in your heart. You say, oh God, praise God, but in your heart you didn't believe it. In your heart you didn't believe it. Maybe mistaken. What I'm trying to say to us is this. I just pointed out this man so that we'll begin to see that the growth in grace is not just sitting down and saying, God, grant me grace. No. It is a gradual process. And as God begins to make you go through certain things that don't make sense to a normal human being, but that is the only process he can reach out to begin to mold you into the person he's looking for. Not until that process. You can count how many times Moses went up and down the mountain. And these are the ones that the Bible recorded. And it is not, he did not go to the mountain to go and pray fire prayer. No. He will just come and sit down. What is the issue? Let us talk. What are they? He didn't go to say, God, I have come to collect power. No. It is okay. What is the problem? Okay, let us do Bible study. Come to the market, let us do Bible study. And you sit down there. Say, people say, you are going for 3 days prayer on the mountain. What are you going to do? To go on the Bible study? You say, you can't do Bible study here. I'm not saying you have to go to the market. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying to us that the process has to be there. Amen. Amen. Let's go on, please. Now the Bible says, as big as the glory of Moses is, we are not looking for the glory of Moses. The Bible says the glory of Moses is small. The Bible says that if it were to be a transitionary, transitionally came with glory, how much more greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over the face that over his face to prevent Israel from seeing the hand of seeing the hand of what is passing. That means the glory of Moses is one that passes away. But there is one. Tell somebody, we will not be surprised when we get to heaven. The Moses that you are screaming, I say, Moses is a great man. When you meet Moses in heaven, Moses will say, the opportunity that you had, I never had. You know, I used to say this somewhere, I say this thing that way. I wanted to know she was you. One more battle, one more Sarah, see what I'm saying. Tessie, what do you want to come back? Tessie, what do you want? Jesus said that Abraham, your father, when we're talking to this, right? Said Abraham, your father, longs to see this day. That means as great as you are looking at Abraham. Abraham was praying, God, I want to see the day you come. I want to see how it looks like. Now, we are not living after the days that Jesus came to this world. And you're going to be looking at Abraham and say, Abraham. Abraham will say, no. I don't know whoever explained this to you. We are the one looking at you and saying, this one should do better than we do. God grant us grace in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me go on to this just because of our time. Let's go on to Ezekiel. John for me, please. John, then go to Ezekiel. The Bible says, in the last day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said aloud, if anybody tests, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture says, the rivers of living water will flow through. So what the Bible is saying, the Bible later says to us that Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read a scripture to us as a description of how it depends. The question now is that how thirsty are you? How thirsty are you? Ezekiel's man. The Bible said, a man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw the water coming from underneath the threshold of the temple towards the east. The Bible says the water was coming down from the south side to the temple, to the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out to the north of the gate, and he led me round outside the outer court. Sorry, facing the east. So just don't worry. And the water was trickling. No, don't worry. Let's go on. Bible says, as the man went to the east side with a measure line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits and he led me through to the water, and the water was to my ankle. He later said, he measured another 1,000 cubits. He led me to the water and he was at my deep. He measured another 1,000 cubits, and let's go on, please. He measured another 1,000 cubits, and the water was to my waist. Let's go on, please, man. He said he measured another 1,000 cubits. And it was now a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen to the depth enough to swim, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, son of man, what do you see? And he led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Let's go back. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into Arabia, where it enters the Dead Sea. And when it enters into the sea, the salty water becomes fresh. He says the swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. What he's saying is this. We're talking about the Holy Spirit as a river. It says, he puts my leg into there first. It was an ankle. He came to my knees. He came to my wrists. He became a river. And he said, anywhere where that river goes into, if the water is salty, the water becomes fresh. If he enters himself into a dead environment, dead, where dead creatures are, dead fishes and swamps, the Bible says everything in that river will become alive. So how does this work for me? As the grace of God keeps growing from levels to levels, it becomes a river such that wherever I go to, as God pours me into that situation, it becomes life. Let us answer, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. Have a blessed week.